Dante's Inferno, Canto 16. The Sodomites continued, the Guelph nobles, the call to Geryon. Right, here we go, Canto 16. I stood already where the roar and boom of waters falling to the next great ring could now be heard. A rumble like a beehive. But then appeared, together, at the run, three shadows swerving from a further squad of those in rasping torment from the rain. Towards us as they came, each cried aloud, "Stop there! To us it seems you're dressed like one who travels from our own degenerate homeland." No, no, I saw how branded by the bite of fire their limbs all were. New wounds, old scars, this, though mere memory, still brings me pain. My teacher paused, attending to their cries. And then, his eyes on me, he said, "Now wait. We owe to these men here some courtesy. Indeed, were not the nature of this place to shoot down barbs of fire, then haste, I'd say, should properly be shown by you, not them." And so again, as now, we came to rest. They all began the song they'd sung before, and, turning, formed among themselves a wheel. Compare, prize wrestlers with their bare skin oiled, circle until they clash, then punch and gouge, in search of some advantage, grip or hold. These, likewise, as they wheeled around, each fixed their glances hard on me, and so their necks turned counter always to the track they trod. "The misery," thus one began, "of these vile sands may render us and all our prayers contemptible, our faces too now black and burned. But let our reputations bend your heart. And who are you, now tell, whose living step in perfect safety scours the paths of hell? This man, whose prints my own feet trample on, although he now goes naked, shorn of hair, was once of higher rank than you'd imagine. Grandson by birth of our good Guald Radda, he was by title Count Guido Guerra. Much he achieved alive with mind and sword. The other next to him who flails the sand is Lord Tegiaio of the Aldobrands. He ought to have more pleased the world in word. I, in excruciating pain with them, was Jacopo Rusticiuni, and yes, it was my wife who did me greatest harm. If only I'd had cover from the fire, I'd willingly have flung myself among them. I think my teacher would have suffered this, but since down there I'd soon have singed and baked, fear got the better of the good intent that stirred my appetite for their embrace. So I began, "Great grief, not scornfulness, to see your state was planted in my heart, and only slowly will it shed its leaves. The instant that my lord, in words to me, led all my inner thoughts to understand that persons such as you might soon come by. I am of your place too. So I have heard, and always with affection have proclaimed, the deeds you've done and honour of your name. I now take leave of galling fruits, to seek sweet apples promised by my Lord in truth, but first must reach the centre of the circle. Long may your soul lead forth your living limbs. So in reply said one of them, and grant your fame may long shine after you. Then say, do courtesy and valour dwell, as once they did within the circuit of our city walls? Or have they utterly departed thence? Report of this from courtly Buzier, who only joined us here of late and goes with our companions there, has caused us pain. That race of newly rich and rapid gains, these seeds, Fiorenza, bring to flower in you excess and pride, and you already weep for that. With head thrown back, I cried this all aloud, and they, the three accepting this response, glanced each to each like those who've heard plain truth. If at so little cost, they said, you speak so well and satisfy what others seek, then you may happily pronounce at will. And so should you escape from these dark haunts and go once more to see the lovely stars, when you with pleasure say that I was there, then do we beg you speak of us to others. With this they broke their wheel, and as they fled, their agile limbs in flight were quick as wings. No amen ever was so swiftly said as these three disappeared before our eyes. And now my teacher thought that we could leave. I came behind, but now, not travelling far, the sound of water was so near at hand that we could scarcely hear each other speak. Compare a river near its native source runs through the eastern Apennines due east, and first descends the slopes of Monte Viso. Its tranquil name up there is Acqua Ceta, but then in flowing to its lower bed, at Forli, it assumes a different mode and thunders here in one great bound above the Alp St. Benedict, where it eased from ledge to ledge, the height would need 1,000. So likewise down through one great shattered force, we found resounding there a blackened stream, the din of which would soon have stunned our ears. Around my waist I wore a braided cord, and had on past occasions thought, by this, to snare the leopard with its painted hide. My leader told me I should slip this off, and when I'd got it wound from round my waist, I handed it across in twisted knots. And then he turned towards his right-hand side and flung it, bunched some distance from the bank. It fell to find the depths of that great sink. Astounding things, I told myself, are bound to come at this astounding sign, which now my master follows with his waiting eye. How cautious we must always be when faced with those who, far beyond observing deeds, can gaze in wisdom on our very thoughts. So now he said, there soon shall rise what I expect, and what you in thought now dream will come. All shall be soon uncovered to your eyes. Always to every truth that looks in face like lies, one ought quite firmly to bar the lip, lest guiltless what one says should still bring shame. I cannot, though, be silent here. Reader, I swear by every rhyme this comedy has caused to chime, may it not lack long favour, that now, through dark and fatty air, I saw, to strike sheer wonder in the steadiest heart, approaching us a figure swimming up, as any diver might who'd gone below, to loose an anchor snagged on rocks, or something other hidden in the sea, and now comes back, arms stretched high, legs drawn, to make the stroke. End of Canto 16 of Dante's Inferno. Translated by Robin Kirkpatrick. Read by Paul O'Mahony. Thank you for listening.